Good morning and welcome to St Ninian's in Stonehouse. My name's Stuart. It's my privilege to be the minister here. But we're not in Stonehouse, St Ninian's this morning. We're in my house. So welcome to my home. Like you, I'm stuck at home. Or perhaps it's I have the privilege of being able to stay at home to keep other people safe and to help protect you and your families, as well as me and my family. So wherever you are, I hope you're well and you're very welcome to join us. Donkeys at dawn, messiahs on a mission, palm branches propelled, crowds crying, people parading, Jerusalem jousting, disciples departing, gateways giving way, hosannas being hurled, a salvo of shouts, and a king on a colt starts the slippery slope that ends the enterprise of hosanna headlines. With a cross and a crucifixion, when the words weary and silence descends and there's nothing left to say. Welcome. Welcome to the beginning of the end. Or the end of the beginning. Let's join together in prayer. God, Palm Sunday begins with the crowds adoring you, raising their voices in welcome to you and praising you as their new King of Kings, the Son of David. So, loving God, we gather wherever we are, like a crowd of people drawn to this story of a man whose life still challenges the way we live and the way that we think about the world. Our eyes see a world that has real beauty within it. Our ears hear the melodic music, filling our every waking moment. We taste the flavours, we feel the textures that seek to meet our every desire. We wonder at the beauty and the diversity, all of which you have made, all that's seen and all that's hidden. In the silence, we sense a presence that we can't really define, can't fully understand, and yet we feel drawn to it from our earliest of years. We wonder at the life you have given us, the mind and body and spirit to dwell in this world that you have made for us, a chance to explore different places and different peoples, the mind to know things and the heart to feel love for ourselves and for others. So forgive us for the times when we've ignored your presence, when we failed to listen to your still small voice within us. Forgive us for the times when we followed the crowd, pulled and swayed by people who would persuade us to seek to fulfil our own will, our own desires before the needs of others. Forgive us for the times when we failed to be true disciples, when we've run away from our commitments, allowed fear to turn us from the right path. God, in your mercy, forgive us once more and renew us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Give us a desire and a commitment to follow the way of the cross, just as Jesus did. Hear us, Lord, as we join in his words, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever. Amen.
This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, from chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, The Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Look, your king is coming to you, humble, and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them and sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee."
Jesus said, "Go and get me a donkey and her colt. And if anyone asks, say that the Lord needs it, and he'll send it back as soon as he's finished with them." You can almost picture the scene. A couple of disciples walking through a scheme somewhere, passing rows and rows of houses with people looking out at kids playing in the street. A couple of wee guys have already asked the owner for a quid to watch the donkey, just in case something happens to it. And the disciples approach. "Excuse me, mister. Not really sure how to say this, but could we borrow your donkey and its colt? It's for the Lord. We'll bring it back. Honest." But of course, this isn't some random request. Jesus is known. He's just raised Lazarus. He's lots and lots and lots of followers by now, probably including the guy with the donkey and the colt. They all know who he is, at least they think they do. And now the moment has come. Most of us have been stuck in the house for just over a week now. I'm sure there are a whole load of teenage boys who haven't noticed yet. They're stuck in their rooms with their Xboxes and snacks. They haven't realised that the world has changed. Knowing that you can't do something is always worse than choosing not to. Loads of people get up every day and go to work, come home and have their dinner and sit in front of the telly. But when someone tells you that you have to stay at home, it makes your normal different. It's usually difficult for us to imagine what life was like in Jesus' time. It was so long ago in a very, very different culture. But perhaps this week, more than any other week in our memories, this is a time in which we can somehow relate. The Jews were in a different kind of lockdown. They weren't fighting a virus. They were controlled by the mighty Roman Empire. Anything that happened, happened because the Romans allowed it to happen. But the Romans were just the latest in a long, long line of conquerors. The Assyrians had tried, the Babylonians did a very good job. They destroyed the temple and most of Jerusalem and took the people off into exile. And now this had happened. These pagans with their brutal regime. You could be going about your business and a Roman soldier could come along and ask you to carry his pack. I say ask. Tell. And you had to carry it for a mile. That's where we get the saying, going the extra mile from. The Romans ruled by fear. The Romans had invented crucifixion as a long, slow, painful public way to execute people who didn't do what they were told, a reminder to anyone who dared to stand up against them. But through all of this, over all these years of occupation and violence, a rumour persisted. One day, the line of kings would be remade. One day, the true heir of David would return. One day, the king would once again ride into Jerusalem and reclaim the throne. But it had been a long, long wait. 1,000 years of false prophets and imposters. They say it's the hope that kills you. But it turns out that's not quite true, thankfully. I was reading an article this week about what's known as the Stockdale Paradox. James Stockdale was once a candidate for the vice presidency in America. He had also been a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. Like many others, during his captivity, Stockdale was tortured and kept in horrific conditions. Ask who was least likely to survive these events. he answered in a slightly surprising way. The optimists were least likely to survive. But why? Well, because optimists tend towards short-term deadlines. It'll all be over by the end of the week, the end of the month. It'll be over by Christmas. And when those deadlines come and they go, so does their hope. Stockdale had a very different approach. He said, you must never confuse the faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. And somewhere in there is the problem of Palm Sunday. There's a difference between hope and optimism. They're not the same thing. That short-term wishing that soon things will be different is optimism, not hope. Hope is something much deeper. Hope isn't a wish. Hope is knowing that in the end things will change, that this too will pass. Hope doesn't ignore the current reality. In fact, it does the very opposite. Hope means being completely aware of what's happening and acknowledging it, even the most difficult parts. Remember, just a few weeks ago in the Beatitudes, we heard Jesus tell us that blessed would be those who are persecuted in his name. He doesn't offer us an easy time. But the sun will rise, and then it will set, and tomorrow it will rise again. Jesus is the one. He is the Messiah. He is the King that they've been waiting on. But their short-term view, their optimism, gets them caught up in the want for immediate change. They forget the reality of their current situation. Palm Sunday is a moment of blind optimism for the crowd. They ignore everything that Jesus has said previously, misunderstand all that he's done, and they expect him to be a very different kind of Messiah. Everything that happens on Palm Sunday exposes this. It starts with a big procession. They lay their cloaks on the ground. Most of us don't have cloaks. Most people then only had one. And it couldn't be taken from you. Even if you owed lots of money to somebody, they could take all your stuff, but nobody could take your cloak from you. So to lay down your cloak for someone else, well, that was a big deal. It was a huge statement. You would only do that for a king. Palm branches, waving them, that's another sign of a royal visitor. And look what they're calling him, Son of David. And look what they shout, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's not a cry of elation or delight. It's not even a cry of praise. Hosanna means save us, rescue us, be our saviour. Right in the middle of an occupation, right at the start of the festival of Passover, when the Jews gathered from all over to come to Jerusalem to remember the time when they were freed from slavery in Egypt, set free from another brutal occupier. The moment has come. The moment has finally come. The Messiah is here. He's finally here on a donkey, mocking the power of the empire. The crowd must have been delirious. The Romans must have been nervous. The religious leaders, they were terrified. But this has happened before. Just 160 years earlier, Julius Maccabeus rode into town during the Festival of the Tabernacles and reclaimed the throne. But it didn't last. This is no gala day parade with kids dressed up and waving flags and bands and floats passing by. This is nothing short of revolution. Isn't it? Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, rescue us. Hosanna, be our king. But in turn, we've often allowed our blind optimism to take over. We know how the story ends. So that's how we always experience Palm Sunday in the light of next Sunday. We know that it's going to be okay. And so often we divorce this story from our current situation. We separate it from our here and now. We've turned Palm Sunday into something less. Much less challenging, much less dangerous, much less transformational. But that's what the crowds thought too. They didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get what they expected. No great king, no overthrower of the empire, no newly won freedom. The next day, things went back to normal. But Jesus had already chosen another way. They just hadn't been paying attention. Jesus had already chosen different priorities, ones that didn't match theirs. Jesus had already chosen a different path, and it was a path that he would have to walk alone. So we whisper our hosannas, scared perhaps to let our hope out of the tightly sealed box we keep it in, fed up of false dawns and false starts, wondering if this time it might be different. Once again, the vested interests will mobilise to protect themselves, whether it's political power or religious authority or even personal safety. There's a huge irony that we read this story this week. It's a story about a parade. As we sit in our homes to protect ourselves and each other, as we stay as far apart as we can, we read a story about a crowd jostling together in Jerusalem. But like the crowds, they will soon disperse. Their optimism evaporates. They will return, just as we will, to our routines. Disappointed, perhaps, that the revolution didn't happen again. Back to their waiting. Back to their wondering. Back to their normal. But nothing would ever be normal again. Because the king had returned. The Messiah was with them. They would be saved. Just not yet. Not yet. Let's join in prayer. Dear God, we've remembered the day that you rode into town on a colt. We've remembered the people who rushed to sing your praises. We've remembered the sense of excitement that you were going to do something new and amazing. But we also remember that the same people soon changed their song from Hosanna to Crucify Him. We remember a lot of things changed in those few days. And we remember that you went willingly to the cross for all of us. Jesus, God sent you so that you might show us that God loves us. God sent you to bring peace and healing to the world. God sent you to show us a new way of living. So help us today to share your message of love. Help us to bring healing to our broken world. Help us to bring peace to all the places where there is no peace today. Help us to keep on doing the work that Jesus began, to keep carrying our own cross so that all people might come to know love and peace and healing. We pray now in a moment of silence for the people and the situations we know where your love and peace and healing are needed today. We thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. Help us to live them. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The crowds, in the spur of the moment, feeling the thrill of something different, the sense of anticipation, shout with the travellers from the countryside as a young man rides a donkey's colt. Hosanna! Hosanna! The disciples, caught in the thrill of the moment, let their voices rise in joyful abandon. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Palm branches are torn from trees, waved in glad adoration. For their world is about to change and they can't wait. Jesus stays silent as the colt sways him back and forth. The shouting and waving, a distant blur. For his eyes are set on his destination, and nothing will stop him now. Jesus looks around him, a lump in his throat, fire burning in his joints. With a final effort, he pulls air into his lungs and exhales with exhaustion. It is finished. The disciples, staring in horror and despair, let out a collective shuddering sigh. Tears stream, hopes lay dashed, confusion reigns as they turn to one another. The crowd, expectant for a miracle, roll their eyes and laugh and turn away. Just another false prophet from Nazareth, no less. No wonder it came to naught. There is no blessing yet. Not today. How can there be? It is finished.